y'all, and welcome to Is That Like a Thing podcast, where the answer is always yes, and we most definitely will be talking about it. Today, I'm here with my friends, Crystal and Megan, and we are on Zoom today. We're trying something new.
Hello!
So, bear with us if it's technical difficulty day as well, but here we go.
But we're still looking at each other, so that's exciting.
We do have our videos on, which is a plus.
And some of us have our PJs on, which is an extra added plus. Like, I love that. I love doing this for my PJs.
My hair ain't even brushed. I mean, I'm in my pajamas. They're leopard.
I love it.
And they're the stars above.
But you have a matching scrunchie.
I didn't plan that. Oh, my gosh. But I did. But this is the Stars Above brand from Target. It is the softest dang pajamas I have ever experienced in my life. I get in bed. I kid you not, you can ask Corey. I got in bed last night and I'm just moving around in bed.
Just happy.
And I'm like, oh, these pajamas are so soft. It just feels so good.
Are they new?
Yeah, they're new. Well, no, I've had them for like a month and I've washed them multiple times. So they like...
Are they pilling at all? I feel like sometimes that brand, and I do agree that they're really soft, but I feel like they...
Yes. Like,
pill a little
bit. In the leg area, I can already tell they're peeling a little bit or pilling. I don't know what that word is.
Crystal's laughing like she was like, I don't even know what's happening.
It's early, and so I think everything's funny.
But it is bawling a little bit.
Bawling. Bawling, filling.
You know, I gotta dumb it down for people like me. It's got them little balls.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, but I love him.
Anyways.
Hey, Becky.
Well, I'm glad you love him.
What are we talking about today?
That's what I was going to say. So, as it is, this episode is going to be coming out at the beginning of the year. We're going to go ahead and talk about how we feel about 2021.
New year,
and
new year.
How we feel about 2022. So, let's go. Crystal, I'm starting with you.
Okay.
What did you accomplish in 2021 that you feel good about?
Oh, good Lord. I would have to say I just set a date for my live recording, which literally has taken almost 2.5 years because of, you know, the thing the world's been going through with people being in places together. I just don't want to say the word. I want to pretend it's over. but yeah, I set a date, and I've got pretty much all the songs lined up. There's a couple I still want to write for it because I want to write one with Megan so she can come be on it. And I mean, Becky, if you're game, we can write a song.
you know me and music. Everyone knows me and music by this point. I love it, but don't involve me.
But I mean, we all can't sing. I love that about you. Like that you're just like, hey, I'm in the car. I'm jamming. I'm doing my thing.
I love that you're just so generous when you say, well, we can't all sing.
we can't, because then people like us wouldn't have jobs.
Do you want to share when your date is, or do you not want to share that yet?
Yes, I do. I want to share. The date is set for March 30th in the spring. So I'm really pumped about, I've got some time to plan and it'll be here before I know it, but, I probably won't put it out. It may either be at the end of next year or the beginning of the next year. So we'll see, because I want to really do it well. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I record music and then I'm just like, hurry up, get it out, you know, and don't really have a plan. And so this time I would really like to do this proper. I've always wanted to record a live album. I've never recorded a live album because I feel like that's where I connect best. It's different when you're singing in a studio versus singing to people. I really enjoy singing to people. So anyway, and because it's been so long since I've recorded something, and I've been putting out more singer-songwriter Americana type stuff, and now I'm going to be putting out kind of a gospel-y singer-songwriter thing. So it'll be kind of Americana feeling, like it'll be a little different, which I'm excited about. So,
that's exciting. I'm excited about it.
What about you? What are you excited about that you did this year?
As I was listening to you, I was like, I don't think I have anything.
I'm glad you said that.
Hey, setting a date for a recording is not a big thing. Remember we started out this year saying our goals were going to be minimal because we're scared.
Well, you know what? Them. I feel like I have lived up to those goals, honey.
I'm excited. I got back to speaking this year, teaching this year. So I do feel good about that. And I just recently did a women's conference in New Mexico, which was awesome. So I am happy that I did that. And I'm happy that I kept, you know, the art side of my ministry going. And so hopefully by the time, I guess, okay, so I should say this. Hopefully by the time this podcast comes out, I will have finished writing my book, which is my goal for the year. And I wanted to finish that a long time ago, but life has happened. And so I have one chapter left and it's been very difficult for me to write it. So hopefully that will be done by the time the podcast comes out. And that I will feel very accomplished about. Mm-hmm. What about you, Megan?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Okay, honestly, I don't know if I've accomplished anything. I feel like I've kept things going, which has been the accomplishment. You know, if I'm going to be honest with y'all, this year is ending. I'm ending in a place that I never would have fathomed I would be for a few reasons where I'm just like, Lord, what the heck is going on? Just like mind-boggling, honestly, in certain respects. But I feel like I've never said this before, so I'm saying it, and it feels like I'm on the newsies or something. I'm saying it. It feels very stupid. But I feel like I'm on the precipice of where the Lord is going and leading me. I believe he's at work. I don't feel like I'm in a spiritual wilderness or emotional wilderness, but I do feel like I'm like, I am in a certain form of wilderness where I'm just like, what the heck? Where are you going? Where are you leading right now? But I trust him.
Like you feel like you're on the verge of seeing something, of a revelation of some kind.
Yeah. But I do sense the Lord sometimes saying like, there's this moment of like, get ready. And so I'm hoping that that means something that is not, you're going to die of cancer next year. Get ready for that. And I'm hoping that it's a positive get ready. I'll say that the Lord has, largely through friends, that's what's amazing, is through friendships, the Lord has just given me some incredible opportunities. Shout out Christy Knuckles. You are loved by this girl. And a few other things, and largely through friendships and friendships with y'all. And I've been so blessed by that. And this podcast has been so fun. And so,
like, if you feel like you're on the precipice of something, what do you feel like heading into the new year? Like, I know you always do these like big, like dream, big post-it note sessions with your husband.
I'm actually looking at it. What's gonna
be on the big post-it note this year?
Well, I mean,
Have you already done your new one?
Yes, obviously. I mean, I did that in October. No, maybe
it sounds like some kind of weird Corey and Megan date night. Like, ooh, let's get out the post.
I'm not even joking. He's a one. It's like imaginating heaven. Sometimes not heaven, but sometimes heaven. In the get crap done factor, it's imagining heaven. We have. I mean, I'm looking at two post-it notes right now with 10 columns and all their sub-columns. The Lord has taken expectation where I'm like, but he has put in expectancy where it's like the expectation of the world around me. I don't have that option as much right now in a way that is good and exciting. And now he's put in a lot of expectancy. And I don't know. It's not a bad place to be. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm with you, though, on the, like, I'm scared to be expectant for it. Like, but yet I am. I don't know how to describe that. But you know how that works when you write a song or, Becky, you know how that is with art. You know, even when you do a piece of art, like, you want it to be loved and liked. I mean, yeah. You know? And so there's this expectancy. You want it to be loved and liked, but there's also, like, I'm scared because I don't want to get disappointed if somebody doesn't like what I created or whatever, you know? So sometimes it's hard, I think, for me to be expectant and hopeful because I don't want to be embarrassed if it doesn't meet those expectations, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was looking through just kind of too, as we talk about this year and talk about what's coming up, I was looking at some different things on y'all's Instagrams, like, that I just wanted to talk about and touch on. And I wanted y'all to share. I thought it would be cool if we could just share for a moment some of the things we were thinking. First of all, I see tons of art on Becky, your page is like the most happiest page.
It is.
In the world.
Oh, thank you.
It really is. It's beautiful. And I was loving, I mean, it was probably one of your more recent posts, but I loved what you wrote about if you can't talk about it, you can't heal from it. And I think that's a big, mm-hmm. that's a big part of your story, mm-hmm. not just, yeah. you know, and talking about that and what was behind that when you wrote that. What were you, you know, not like, what were you thinking, but, you know, what were you thinking and stuff?
Well, I mean, it is my story, you know, it's the beginning of my story. And I think I shared on that post that, like, I was in New York in 2017 with our friends and I had my first panic attack. And so I had, you know, I've talked about this a little bit on here, but, you know, I was abused as a child and a preteen and a teenager, and I kept it hidden until after those panic attacks set in. So there's a book that I really want to read called The Body Keeps the Score. Crystal, have you read that?
No.
I think Emily's even talked about it, but it talks about how your body reacts physically to things that are going on emotionally.
Yeah.
And if you don't address them, they will come out eventually in some way, shape, or form, whether that's physical pain or anxiety or depression or sickness or disease or whatever. They come out. That's not the only reason for all those things, obviously, but they will come out if you don't address them. And so I just feel a lot like growing up, culture taught us to, like, keep it all together and keep it. There's just a lot of pressure to be, I don't want to even say perfect, but just for everything to be nice and easy and pretty and put together and, like, fit together and all that.
Yeah.
And so I had held it all in, and for better or worse, and it was coming out, you know?
Yeah.
And I just feel like if you're holding something in and you're not able to speak the words out loud of what is bothering you or what's going on, whether it's past trauma or a sin or a circumstance that's really bothering you or an unforgiveness or a bitterness or an anger or whatever, if you're not able to talk about it, then you can't process it and heal from it. And I think a lot of times, you know, and I'm an Enneagram too, and so a lot of times I don't want to be upset, but I am for whatever reason. My feelings get hurt, but I don't want them to be hurt. But if I cannot acknowledge that, then I cannot through that.
Yeah, that's really good.
And so I just want to encourage people, women especially, to talk about what's going on. Whether that is, and I think I put that in the post, like, whether that's just saying the words out loud to God alone, or having a husband or a spouse to talk to, or a mom or sister, mentor, friend, counselor, just someone where you can say the things out loud and get them out of your body.
Yeah.
so that you can start processing them and moving them forward. And
it makes me think of, you know, confess your sins to one another, because not that that's a sin, but that confession, you know, is healing, and saying it out is so healing and empowering just to say it. I think that there's so much power in saying something, because I think if the Spirit of God lives in us, you know, and we begin to say things out loud, I don't know if you've ever noticed that before, but if you start talking about an idea you never heard, and then all of a sudden you see it and somebody else, like, you know, starts saying the same thing. So I think there's so much power in it. And that's why I kind of, I mean, I know, like I said, that was one of your more recent posts, but it was the one that really grabbed my attention. Because that's such a part of your story. And I think that's interesting, you know, that you would say that, because you had talked about too, just going and sometimes being part of a church family, you can feel like you can't share everything there and you can't be known, you know, and be seen and be loved. Sometimes it feels like that. Sometimes it, you know, sometimes it doesn't, but sometimes it does. And I think we sometimes put that, you know, on ourselves, like, okay, I can't say anything because that would just be wrong. And it's like, why is that wrong? That's why we are here as the church, as friends, as the body of Christ, to not weaponize. That was, somebody asked me what was the difference between being open and honest and vulnerable. And I think being vulnerable is when you tell someone something that can, they can weaponize against you and they can hurt you with. And so I just think, as you have discovered vulnerability and opening up, it's just been such a powerful thing to watch you walk through. And I just, I'm thankful to see it.
It's also not, and I know you agree with this, Crystal, it's not about like spewing your dirty laundry everywhere for everyone to see. And I think we have seen that some from
we've seen some the opposite
influencers. So that's not what it is. It's about, and I think that that's the difference between being open and honest and then being vulnerable is, you know, open and honest, or open is like, I'm going to spew what I think, you know, I'm going to try to make it look, frame something in a certain way. Does that make sense? Like, I'm going to be open about what is happening, but also I'm going to frame it in a certain way. Whereas true vulnerability is not trying to frame it.
Right.
And just
sharing,
being like, this is what is happening in my life or in my heart or in my mind or in my circumstances or in my marriage or whatever it is. And just putting it out there and not trying to frame it in a way that makes you look or even feel better about it.
That's good.
And letting God do that redemptive work. But speaking of that, I was saying to you beforehand, I was looking on your Instagram, and I think this goes along the same lines, Crystal, as you wrote a prayer, and you said, Father, give us hearts that truly love people with no agenda. Lead us to the ones that need to know that kind of love. And I just was wondering, because I think it goes along those same lines, what is behind that?
I guess I had just really been thinking, just after being in ministry for over 20 years, you know, you just see, sometimes I feel like, I'm just going to say this out loud, and I don't mean any harm by it, but sometimes I feel like at church, we're just trying to get people to come and get in the doors, do this giveaway or do this thing, which is not, I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm not, because I mean, I walked in a church one day and my life got marked and changed by walking in a church. So I'm not saying that those things are bad. I'm just saying, what is our motivation? Is it to get people, you know, to show up and come to our church so we, you know, we grow, you know, which is not a bad thing either. I hope you guys are hearing what I'm saying if you're listening. But to really love without an agenda means it's somebody who doesn't add to your numbers, doesn't add to, you know what I mean? Like, and that's hard, I think, sometimes in Christianity, because there is a responsibility. I mean, even in the Bible, they would say, you know, oh, there's 500 men, you know, or whatever showed up to this. So there is the reality of, yes, it's important to see if you're growing, you know, and to see if people are showing up and looking at that, but also being able to cast that aside and love people in a way that is sacrificial and in love mm-hmm. people in a way where they can't do something back for you. So I think that was kind of my thought. Sometimes I can feel, and I'm not, here's another thing. I'm not against multi-level marketing. If you're thriving and doing awesome things, you go, girl, guy, whoever it is. But sometimes I feel like there's this weird agenda as we start, you know, planning events or something, and it can feel a little bit like, oh, we got to get you on our team, you know, when really mm-hmm. the intention behind it is more, I want you to know Christ. I want you to experience right. him. And I'm not saying that all the, but I don't know. I was just thinking about it because I had an experience where these people were putting something together and we didn't talk about our intention. I'm super intentional. So I want to know what the intention is behind what we're doing, because otherwise we'll get lost and just start doing some kind of event or some kind of gathering without the heart behind it of when and that makes a big difference in what we do, I believe, is the intention that we set behind loving people. And it's like, mm-hmm. it's because I'm called to, and it's because people have loved me and it's made a difference in my life. And I want them to feel that love and just keeping that pure hearted, focused attention on connecting people with the Lord. And that kind of, because it just gets lost sometimes. We start doing. And so I think that was the thought behind that post.
Which, I love that.
You know, I just don't want people to get caught up and lose what their whole, you know, intention is behind mm-hmm. doing events or doing things for Jesus. It's like you can do the Martha Mary thing, you know. And yeah. Speaking of that, I had the most awesome experience writing a song with Megan not too long ago. And I actually wanted to talk to Megan about that experience that we had in a post that she wrote on her Instagram with a very pretty picture of her with the microphone. You look so cute, Megan. But it was the one where we wrote and we took, like, before we even got into the song, we spent probably an hour to an hour mm-hmm. and a half talking about the valley. Mm-hmm. And it was something that I think it's important to share. Like, we talk about the valley like it's this bad place. And mm-hmm. Megan, we talked about all this, and then we went into writing a song that we never finished, but mm-hmm. the talk was amazing about it. And you did this post, you know, shortly after, and talked about the mountain. You said, the mountaintop is certainly the high points in life where we look forward to. It's why we yearn to be there, because it feels like we made it, mm-hmm. you know, when you get up on the mountain. But then we started talking about, like, what the valley is, and mm-hmm. actually it's probably the more place of growth and yeah. lushness. Because mm-hmm. So talk about that. And
yeah, I just think that I just think that we view the valley as the low point in life. So it's like, I think every worship song is like, take me out of this valley, yeah. move me up to the mountain. You know?
And that's a good one. Let's write that.
Right? No, that's, I'm still that melody. So I just think that we are always striving to be on the top of the mountain in our lives. So the mountaintop moments, I mean, when we have those mountaintop moments, I think the first thing once we get off the high, we're like, I got to do that again. We got to do that again. I got to experience that again. And then what always happens after the mountaintop moments are the valleys. So think of, like, I remember talking at the beginning of this year about, like, the lows that come after big events, you know, you mm-hmm. do a big thing mm-hmm. and the lows that come after that. And I think that basically what I was able to process, even in that time, that co-write, is the Lord, going to the valley is part of the Lord's plan. It's like the way the body works, the Lord has made it work in a certain way. And I also think mountaintop moments, the Lord has made it work in a certain way where after the mountaintop moments, we go down to the valley. But here's the thing. I think Satan has tried to distort what the valley is. And I think Satan has tried to steal what joys come from the valley. God has planned the valley to be a place that is fruitful. It's in the scriptures. The wine doesn't grow at the top of Mount Everest, nor does the fruit, nor does the water come, nor does, yeah. Is there green grass or fields at the top of Mount Everest? No, it's scraggly up there. People get really dry skin. They need some chapstick. They need some water. And there's a bunch of goats. And that's pretty much it. And anyone else up there.
That'll preach.
Anyone else up at the top of the mountain is pretty malnourished. They need the same mm-hmm. things. They need food. They need some rest. They need a warm bed. And they haven't had any of that. But then you go down to the valley. And what's in the valley? The valley is where the fields are grown. And the fruit is grown. And the wheat is grown. And there's wine. And there's warm beds. And there's streams. And there's green mm-hmm. fields that the Lord wants to lead you into. But I think that Satan knows that. And so Satan has tried to distort what the valley is, where we dread the valley instead of look towards the valley and say, okay, this is the mountaintop moment. And the Lord is about to lead me into the valley. It's not dark there. It's beautiful there. It's lush there. There's so much that I'm going to get there. I'm going to get, I'm going to get refilled there. The Lord is going to make me lie down in green pastures. The Lord is going to lead me beside quiet waters. And so I think that, so what I basically said, and it's crazy because I was writing this before we even had that co-write. It was just on my heart. And it was like, we need to take back the valley. We need to take back the valley for what the valley is and what the Lord wants the valley to be for us, which is a place of rest and restoration, where we have a glass of wine, if you do that, and where you kick up your feet for a second and you take a deep breath and you just be, and you allow the Lord to refill, because what's next? Probably another mountaintop. And then what's going to be next after that? Probably another valley. Let both of those things be what they are, but take back that valley for what the Lord wants it to be in your life. And so that's really what this post was about, because I feel like that's what I've experienced this year, is a lifetime of dreading the valley instead of a lifetime of embracing both of those moments, the mountaintops, but also looking at the mountaintops with reality. And realizing, hey, everyone up here on this mountaintop with me, they're malnourished as I am. Everyone needs the valley. And if you are that person that is living just from mountaintop to mountaintop, striving for the mountaintops, probably you're malnourished. Probably mm-hmm. you need a big drink of water and some alone time. Probably you need to hang out with your people. Probably you need to kick up your feet a little bit and you need to get refilled back up. And so I just think, look at both things with joy. Look at both things with reality in your eyes, recognizing you need the valley times far more than you need the mountaintop moments for your health.
Yeah.
I think, okay, so I love everything that you're saying, and I just had this moment of clarity where I think we have equated the valley with the wilderness.
Yes.
And they're not the same
thing. They're not the same thing.
Yeah.
Being in a valley does not mean that you're in a wilderness.
Yeah.
You can be in a wilderness, but it's not the same. It's interesting because I think you're right. I think that we have equated those two things together. I was just sharing with you guys earlier the James, passage. I'm going to flip to it where it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and then let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And I think the valley is designed to produce those fruits, right? Mm-hmm. The fruit of steadfastness, and so that we could be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And when I was like doing a deep dive into that passage, it said, a commentary I was reading was saying that Satan uses the trials to pull us away from God, when God uses those to pull us into him. Mm-hmm. And so it's like exactly what you're saying about the valley, is that Satan is trying to distort our view of it.
Yeah.
as this is not a good thing. We shouldn't stay here because look at what God's not doing for you. He's not mm-hmm. putting you on this mountaintop. He's not doing this. And look at all these other people on the mountains and you're here in the valley when really those times are designed to pull us back into him. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, I think that's what a great point that you have.
Yeah.
And
I love that. Take back the valley.
I have spent my life allowing Satan to pull me away from God in the middle of the trials. I have spent my mm-hmm. life, and that's not something he can do. I allow that. Satan's not that powerful. Like that mm-hmm. is something I have to agree to, of being pulled away from the Lord. And I have allowed that for a long time. And I think that this year, like even going back to what we were talking about at the beginning of this podcast, I think this year I have looked back on my life and said, okay, in some of the biggest trials I've ever gone through, here's what happened. Here's what I learned out of it. Anger. Don't be angry at the Lord. Like, don't walk in doubt before the Lord. And so I think that now I'm going through things that are very difficult, actually, but I can say it is well with my soul. Mm-hmm. I can say that. And I am to the marrow of my bones. Mean it. I'm telling the truth. It is well with my soul. The Lord is good. The Lord is at work. The Lord is working and moving because I have decided to not allow Satan to pull me away from the Lord in the middle of trials. I have clung to the Lord and said, okay, I'm double downing on believing you. I'm double downing on being grateful for the things that you have provided. Mm-hmm. I'm double downing on trusting you and knowing you're good, believing to the marrow of my bones, you are good and you have good for me. I double down on that. And I can tell you, it has been the biggest shift of mind, and it has had the biggest impact on the well-being of my soul. I mean, it's just been crazy. Mm-hmm. So
it's beautiful. So Lord, thank you. It's like, thank you for those valleys. Thank you for the mountain top. The view is beautiful.
Yeah.
Honey, we can't live up there with the billy goats. The mountain goats. Those things are mean.
They are.
But have you ever seen them when you go up there?
That view of high is on the real side. Nice.
But the valley is beautiful. It's lush. I love that. I think that's an important thing to leave with today. I think, you know, taking back that valley, that whoever, if you're walking through what you think is, it might be wilderness, it might not be valley. And I think mm-hmm. that's a really cool point to know when you're being restored, you know, when you're being fed by the Lord, when your cup is running over, when you're lying down in green pastures. And so that's a beautiful word to end and begin a year with. And so we thank you guys so much for listening to us and being with us on Is That Like a Thing podcast, where if we ask the question, it's always going to be yes. And we're going to talk about it. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you next time.